That's what that building was designed to, if they ever took it over. It's like, well, wouldn't the protesters just go to another building that they could
go find somewhere else? Yeah.
I think they're a little more inventive of that, but.
Okay, we're set.
We're good? Are we rolling? All right, and just to let you know, so the format of this is, hopefully this will feel like a conversation. We'll edit, so if you do, if something pops up, take a second, start over, not a big deal.
Okay.
Otherwise, we are ready to go.
All right.
If you're ready to go.
I'm ready.
All right, Joel Brennan, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
So for the voters who don't know you, introduce yourself and say why you're running for governor.
Yeah, well, I'm somebody who's had a 30-year career here in Wisconsin. Mine's a Wisconsin story. And I'm somebody who's of and from here, and I can tell you the conversations I have with people here that there is a palpable sense of frustration, anger. I think people are truly concerned about just making ends meet. And then, you know, you add on to that that you've got Donald Trump in the White House who is chaotic, he's dysfunctional, he's cruel, and it's enough to make everybody angry. And I'm angry too, but I'm also somebody who, over the course of a career, you know, I've demonstrated for some people, when you get angry, you want to get even. When I get angry, I want to roll up my sleeves and get something done. And so that's what I've tried to demonstrate. And so we have in Wisconsin a situation where there are 200,000 people who are about to lose their health care benefits, tens of thousands more who are going to see their premiums double or triple. And so that's a reason for people to be angry. And in some ways, we need to ensure that Wisconsin values are protected. But thankfully, we have fair maps now. And with fair maps and a Democratic governor, we have an opportunity to make real lasting change for Wisconsin, protect those values, and do things that can put us right by Wisconsin families. That's why I'm running.
Is there a single issue that drives you, or maybe a lane within the Democratic Party that helps define who you are?
Well, I think if anybody's looking around right now, the main issue that anybody is dealing with here in Wisconsin is affordability. You know, we're in a situation where just in the last week it was revealed that the first-time home buyers now are 40 years old. 5 years ago, they were an average of 33 years old. And we spent $10,000 a year on health care per person in Wisconsin. Yet there are people who go without, people who can't afford their prescription drugs. You know, and a year of daycare in Wisconsin costs as much as a year of tuition at the University of Wisconsin Milwaukee or University of Wisconsin Madison. And we have a situation where still there's childcare deserts for a good portion of our state. So all of those are challenges. And then at the same time, you have Donald Trump running around the country saying affordability is a Democratic hoax. It's not a hoax. It's an issue that's real for every Wisconsin resident. And I think that's the defining issue about not only how can we stand up to Donald Trump and anybody else in Wisconsin who would try to stand in the way of our values, but also how can we get to a place where we're really making a difference for people's affordability and how they live their lives here.
How much money do you need to raise in order to be competitive and win this primary and then survive into the general election?
Yeah, well, I think elections are expensive. And what I'm going to do in this race is I'm going to lean into the relationships that I've developed and cultivated over the course of the last 30 years. You know, I grew up as the second youngest of 11 kids. I had to work my way through college, have four or five jobs to do that. Everything I've ever had, I have earned. And so what I'm going to do is go out and communicate with people about the work that I've done over the last 30 years, the executive experience, the breadth that I have. And I'm confident that I can generate resources as I listen to and talk to people around the state.
This is a very large Democratic primary, a very competitive one. How do you define the difference between negative campaigning versus showing up differences between candidates?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I'm the second youngest of 11 kids. I know what it's like to have to go to a crowded table and elbow your way in, whether it's for attention or even to get a meal. And so, you know, I'm comfortable with that. But what I am going to do in this campaign is really talk to people about me and about my background. 30 years of progressive executive experience, things like, you know, running the largest science museum in the state of Wisconsin at Discovery World, 3 years as the top appointed official in Governor Evers' cabinet, and the work that we did there. So the way that I'm going to try to distinguish myself from others is to just communicate with them about the depth of relationships and what we have done. You know, people sometimes forget in the era of Trump that Wisconsin had a lot of things to deal with, and we needed to recover from 8 years of Scott Walker in a right-wing legislature. I was really proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with Governor Evers over the 3 years that I was his secretary. And we were able to get to a point where Wisconsin had its largest surplus in state history at that point, a rainy day fund that got to $1.7 billion. And then we navigated our way through COVID and were able to provide real relief to farmers, to Wisconsin residents who needed a roof over their head, to small businesses. And so those are the kind of things that I think I can demonstrate that, you know, there are lots of people who will stand up and say, yeah, we're going to be tough, but who actually has rolled up their sleeves to get something done?
So as voters start to get to know these candidates, should they be looking for who's closest to them on the issues, or should they be thinking about electability?
You know, I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I think the issues are hugely important to everybody here in this state. And I think that, you know, when voters look, they have options. And primaries are good for establishing options. And so they'll have opportunities to look at all the candidates and what we stand for. The things I'm really going to be leaning into and the things I'm going to be communicating with people are about, you know, the work that we had to do in state government throughout COVID. It was a time where government was the last resort and had to work. If you were running a family farm or if you were a small business, if you were at risk because you couldn't make rent, you know, you needed the background, government to be there for you. And that's what we did. There was not a playbook that was written for this, for the worst health care and economic crisis in 100 years. And I'm really proud of the work that we did throughout COVID. And we got Wisconsin onto the right track. And now we're in a place where 5 years later, you know, due to some of the dysfunction that's happening at the federal level and things that are at peril here in the state, we have to ensure that we don't backslide. So that's the area that I really want to work on over the next 9 months of the campaign.
Most of the Democratic candidates have connections to Milwaukee or Madison. How do you introduce yourself to rural Wisconsin, the rest of the state?
Yeah, well, mine's a Wisconsin story. My dad was born in 1927 to a single mom in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. My mom was born in 1928 in Milwaukee, grew up in Milwaukee and East Troy. And so, you know, ours is a Wisconsin story just like lots of other people's here. You know, and I think, you know, as I talk to people about affordability, it may look a little different in different places around the state. If you live in the Fox Valley and you're one of the people who's at risk of losing your health care, you know, that's part of your story. If you're a farmer and you didn't have a chance to have your crop go to market because of Trump's tariffs, you know, if you're somebody else here in Wisconsin who's at risk because of some of the things that are going on at the federal level. Like, the story is different for people, but the commonality is that we all want to make Wisconsin affordable. We need to take the steps to ensure that Wisconsin values and Wisconsin families are protected. And I think that's a story I'm looking forward to hearing from people, and I'm looking forward to discussing with them at a kitchen table anywhere in the state of Wisconsin.
You've referenced the president a number of times. So what impact do you think Donald Trump will have on this election?
I think his impact looms large over everything that we do right now. You know, and at this point, the most likely candidate on the Republican side is Tom Tiffany, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree when it comes to Tom Tiffany and Donald Trump. And so I think we need candidates who are able to stand up to that, but not only stand up, but be able to demonstrate that they've been effective about doing things and getting things done. And, you know, in my view of this, you know, yes, Donald Trump is going to play a role in the campaign, but ultimately the campaign can't be just about Donald Trump. It has to be about Wisconsin families, Wisconsin values. That's what I come from, that's who I am, and that's what I'm looking forward to discussing and talking about as I'm out on the campaign trail with people.
As governor, there's a decent chance you could have a Democratic majority behind you in the legislature. In that case, what's AB1? What's the first bill you want to sign?
Well, I think no matter what we do, the first thing we need to do is work on affordability. I think there are any number of ways in which we need to ensure, whether it's on the issues of stable housing around the state or whether it's on the issues of health care, Medicaid expansion, which the governor has tried to do over the course of his 8 years, hasn't been able to do. Those are the types of things that can be done with a Democratic majority, and those are the types of things that I'd be eager to do right away.
Conversely, there could also be Republicans in charge of one of the houses. What's your track record of working across the aisle?
I think I'm somebody who, over the course of 30 years, has demonstrated that I am a relationship person first. It's something that I have made a point of, and I have ensured that As I go throughout my career, I think I check my ideology at the door when I want to roll up my sleeves and get things done. It's necessary to do in the nonprofit sector. It's necessary to do in government. But I would tell you that the most important thing that we can do in Wisconsin over the course of the next 9 months, the next 11 months when we get to the general election, is to ensure that we have a Democratic governor, ensure that because of the fair maps, we have a Democratic majority in the Assembly and in the State Senate. And that'll allow us to do things that truly can make a difference in the lives of Wisconsin residents and make lasting change for us. There has been 15 years of Republican domination in the legislature and 15 years where we have backslid on really being able to support Wisconsin families, Wisconsin workers. I'd be eager to change that trend. And the most important thing to do in that regard is to get a Democratic governor and Democrats in the legislature.
The Public Service Commission is looking at pretty large utility rate hikes. There's data centers being proposed all over. What's your plan to deal with those issues?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we have to do when it comes to all of this stuff around AI and data centers, the challenge is around for government is around transparency and accountability. The companies that are looking to build these, they want speed. They are intent on getting this done as quickly as possible. The communities that are affected, the ratepayers, what they want and what they need out of government is they need us to be responsible, they need us to be accountable, and they need to ensure that there's transparency with all of this. You know, AI is something that I think is, it is a little disconcerting to me personally, because it's an area that all of us know how dramatically and how quickly things are changing. So, you know, we all have a little anxiety about that, and you see that at the local level with these things. But I think that the responsibility that we have fundamentally is to just ensure that these conversations, some that are happening at the state level, a lot that are happening at the local level, that they are, the main thing that we have with them is that there is transparency around them, and that the users of this are accountable, and that, you know, the benefits accrue to all of us, and that the responsibility for the costs aren't borne by taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin.
What would you like to see happen with public education funding? Do we need an increase? Do we need an overhaul in the system?
Well, I think, we've got to make sure that we look absolutely at how do we spend more on public education in Wisconsin. One of the challenges, I think, is that we're still working on a system. Tommy Thompson took a snapshot of what things looked like in 1993, and we're still working with that system 32 years later. I think it would be courageous and necessary for us to look at exactly what we need to do for 2026 and moving forward, rather than trying to make the best of a 30-year-old system. So I absolutely think that we need to invest in special education, we need to fund our schools appropriately, we need to ensure that classrooms are places that are welcoming for teachers, welcoming for students, and then we've got to hold ourselves accountable for the outcomes, because nothing more important to us and the future of our state than ensuring that we have the kind of outcomes that we need coming out of our schools all across the state and at every level, from early childhood all the way up through the university and technical system.
What would you like to see happen with the voucher system? Expand, contract, stay the same?
You know, the voucher system has now been in place for the last 30 years. I'm not interested in a dramatic expansion of it, but I also think there's challenges of trying to put that genie back into the bottle. I think the most fundamental thing for us is around accountability for everybody in education, making sure that we have the right investment in kids, and making sure that we're holding ourselves, holding schools accountable for the challenges that we have in education. But at the same time, you know, as with in anything with education, there are lots of problems that come to the schoolhouse door that have nothing to do with what happens inside that schoolhouse. So we also need to make sure that we're fundamentally looking at how do we ensure that there is better housing around the state, that we provide for people when it comes to health insurance, and just the overall economic opportunities that we need as a state. You know, I'm a parent, I'm a father of two kids, and I want my kids to have a chance to do and be successful here in Wisconsin. Part of the path that they have, that's gotten them there, is a strong public education and where they could do that. And that's what we need to get for everybody here in the state of Wisconsin.
What's the number one tax reform you'd like to see?
I think that there are just, we have made strides in the last few sessions in terms of reducing taxes to people, the tax burden on people in the middle class. And I think that as we look at anything related to taxes and generating revenue in the state of Wisconsin, equity and fairness needs to be the way that we look at that. I think the way that the legislature has had a supermajority, almost a supermajority in the Assembly and the Senate over the last 15 years, I think we may have gotten a little bit askew in terms of how we're looking at equity and fairness in our tax system. And I think we should explore that everywhere. But I think that the main thing is that, you know, at this point, the biggest issue that people have in the state of Wisconsin is how can they afford to pay for the issues or the things that they need to put on their kitchen table. And so, you know, as we think about what the tax burden is, we need to ensure that we're giving people the tools and the opportunities to be successful as in their families.
Over the last year, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down a lot of legislative oversight over the legislative rulemaking process. There have been talks of possibly a bipartisan compromise to restore some oversight. What would you like to see happen as governor?
Well, I think, you know, people should think about what happened in the lame duck session before Tony Evers ever started. You know, the legislature and Scott Walker looked to try to gut the governor's office and the attorney general. And a lot of what's happened in the last year is restoring, I think, the right balance between the legislature and the governor. You know, Wisconsin works best when we have three co-equal branches of government, when the legislature, the governor, and the judicial branch are all operating well. And that has been certainly out of line over the last 15 years, as the Republicans have oftentimes run roughshod over other branches of government and other parts of Wisconsin's, the important Wisconsin elements. So, you know, I think that we need to restore that balance, but I think it's, we also, the most important thing that we can do is ensure that there's a Democratic governor, ensure that there's a legislature that has a Democratic majority in the Assembly and the Senate. And if we can do that, we'll start to get that balance, not just with the legislature and the governor, but the balance that I think taxpayers and citizens of Wisconsin need.
What would you like to see happen for funding for local government?
Well, I think I was very involved in the effort 2 years ago to try to ensure that there was some better, that local units of government got more of that shared revenue, because that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, where at local government, that's where public safety, where local roads and bridges, fire, all of those very important services are done. And that contract, people I think know, the contract is about 115 years old, where, you know, Wisconsin was one of the first places to collect all the money in Madison and then send it back to local units of government. Well, when we have the number of referenda that are still going on, when, you know, places like Whitewater and Stevens Point have to go to referendum in order to create positions for firefighters, that system is still not working the way it needs to work. And so, you know, I think that no matter what we do, we need to ensure that the relationship between local government and state government is strong, and that we're hearing what's happening at the local level. And I think that we have, for many years, as state shared revenue was frozen, I think we were not listening to local government as their costs were increasing. I think we've done a little bit, and we've made some progress in that in the last few years, but it certainly is not something that's been fixed yet. And so that would be one of the areas that I'd be committed to working on with all of my partners in local government.
Right now, there's exploratory drilling in northern Wisconsin in a number of different sites looking at future mines. The mining law was overhauled in 2017. Do you think that current law is correct? Would you like to see something different in place for these potential mines?
Well, I think one of the most important things that we have in Wisconsin, a differentiator that we have in Wisconsin versus other places around the country, is that the natural beauty, the ability that we have to go out and enjoy Wisconsin. And that's not a partisan issue. That's not an ideological issue. That's a vision that we share for the state. And so as we think about anything that would do any potential harm to the state of Wisconsin, I think we need to be very cautious about that. I think there are issues around economic development that I think we need to try to find that right balance. And if it's time to revisit that issue or it's time to have that conversation, I'd be all for it. But the most important thing for me, and one of the most important core differentiations for Wisconsin from anywhere else in the country, is how we appreciate and how we have a visceral connection to Wisconsin and its beauty. And I'm not going to be somebody who puts that in peril on behalf of the 6 million residents of our state. That's something that's paramount for us.
In this political environment, have you had any concerns for your own personal safety while campaigning?
Um, I, I'm concerned about the level of vitriol for anybody here. You know, I'm concerned when I see what happened in Pennsylvania with Josh Shapiro and what happened at the executive residence there. You know, one of the things that I bring to this campaign is, as the Secretary of the Department of Administration, we were responsible for the management of the executive residence of the state capitol. And so, you know, I've had opportunity to see that. I respect the people who do that work and who work in local law enforcement. You know, I guess I still believe that campaigns are about ideas. And I absolutely, I know that there are going to be people who disagree with me and disagree with me on the campaign. You know, I hope and expect that they're going to do that honorably. I am more than willing to take pot shots that people have online, and you know, and there's a lot of that. And I, you know, I have to have a thick skin around that. But I hope that we're at a place, and I hope we can demonstrate in Wisconsin that we do things civilly. You know, we have a horrible example at the federal level in Donald Trump, who I think we continually kind of find out how much lower he can go, where we don't think that morally or ethically he can go any lower. And his comments about the death of Rob Reiner and his wife were just another example of that. But I'd like to think that in Wisconsin we can elevate the discussion, elevate the way we treat people. That's who we are. That's the core values that we share and who we are just as Wisconsinites.
What's your plan to increase affordable housing?
Well, you know, I think you're in a situation I mentioned earlier where we are in a place in Wisconsin where the first time average home buyer, the average age for that has gone to 40 years old, and it was 33 years old just 5 years ago. And so we are creating a nation of renters and a state of renters. And no matter where you go around the state, when you're talking to an employer, when you're talking to the people in the school district, when you're talking to universities or higher ed people, they all say that there is a challenge in finding the housing for not only affordable housing at the lowest income level, but also for those who are seeking their and getting their first job or starting their family. So that's an issue that is absolutely paramount to me. I think, you know, Wisconsin likely needs a top to bottom housing plan where we can look at all aspects of this. And there are tools at our disposal that we have through WEDA that I'm not sure that we are using to the best of our abilities. And if we need new tools, we'll go out and get them. But this is kind of the core of affordability for Wisconsin families, is ensuring that they have a safe and secure place to put a roof over their head, that they can build equity, that they can build wealth for their family over time. So that's one of the issues that I look forward to working on as soon as I become governor.
The Department of Corrections is undergoing a pretty rapid overhaul. Would you carry Governor Evers' plan forward?
Well, I think I was at the front end of some of those, the work that happened with Governor Evers and the administration. I think the challenge that we have, and you know, I worked with Secretary Kevin Carr as the head of the Department of Corrections, and I think, as I told him, he had one of the toughest jobs in state government, and I think we need to continually try to create that balance where there is need for secure detention and where there's need for employees of the correction system to have the right tools at their disposal. We need to create those because we have these 150-year-old prisons and things that we need to do and to make investments on. But at the same time, I think we also need, and I think the governor has done this too, we need to look at the alternatives to incarceration. We need to work with our partners at the local level to ensure that there is a pathway that doesn't just ensure that what we have is the last resort, which is where we're putting people in prison and locking them up. If somebody, you know, if there's a law that's broken, I respect the judicial system and I respect the ability for lawyers and judges to manage that and put people in prison and incarcerate them as they need to. But there's so much that we can do at the front end, investing in early childhood, investing in education, ensuring that there are opportunities for people who are coming out of high school or technical schools. Like, there are lots of things that we can do to ensure that we're not just doing things and spending them at the end of the pipeline.
Would you like to see any changes to Wisconsin abortion laws?
Well, abortion to me is a decision that is best made between a woman and her health care provider. Abortion is health care. And so, you know, I'd like to see us to do things that get politics out of that and ensure that women and their doctors can make those decisions, the educated and informed decisions on their own.
All right. Joel Brennan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, you made it through.
Thank you
very
round.
Much. Yeah. All right.